If you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 10. And as you're doing so, if you would join with me in a spirit of prayer. Father, we come to you asking for your mercy and your grace as we approach your word. There is much blindness around us. And so we ask that you illuminate our hearts and our minds. That you would be honored. That you would be glorified. That we would know truth, to discern truth. And walk in your ways as we know the truth that you have revealed. And so, Lord, open our minds, open our hearts. And if there be any error in me, Lord, may it fall to the ground. Give us discernment. May what we see be what is in Scripture. For that is our standard, our ultimate standard for what is true, what is right, what is just, what is holy. And so, Lord, guide us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we finished up the story of the blind man being healed. He was blind from birth. And so Jesus has finished with the man born blind and in the process rebuking the Pharisees' spiritual blindness. Even though they claim to see, they in fact do not. And so therefore they're guilty. If they claim to see, they should be able to see who Jesus is, but they deny him, and so their guilt remains. And so now he moves on to a teaching or allegory to amplify his point. And right now, we're going to, at the beginning of this, it's going to be a little tough to see how this relates to the blind man's story, but as we go through chapter 10 over the course of this couple weeks, and the few weeks, we will see that this story of the sheep following the voice of the shepherd really does apply to this story of the blind man being healed. And we will see and continue to see Jesus' teaching directly confronting failing leaders of his day. And so the confrontation between the Pharisees and Jesus continues to escalate. But in the midst of it all, we must not miss who Jesus truly is. We can get caught up in looking at the Pharisees and not see in juxtaposition of that who Jesus is and what our response to Jesus should be. And so we often find ourselves so caught up and busy responding to the people and the things around us, but we are not seeing or hearing or responding to what Jesus is saying or doing in our midst. And so read with me John chapter 10, starting with the first 10 verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so the first thing we see in these verses is that there is only one voice for faith to follow. Jesus teaches about himself by describing the reality of sheep, of shepherds, and the sheepfold. And actually, before he even mentions himself, he sets up the word picture and the allegory by which he is launching his teaching. And I want you to note, in this allegory, not every element has a direct correspondent to a person. So we will come to a mention of a gatekeeper, and scholars and people have tried to say, well, this is that, and none of them quite fit. The gatekeeper is just a natural element of a story because they existed when it came to sheepfolds. And so there's not necessarily a deep connection and spiritual meaning to the gatekeeper. What Jesus does in the story or imagery is using common elements of what people would find familiar when it came to tending and caring for sheep. He's communicating with people's understanding and experience, and this is what we would call contextualization. He's not changing the message, but he's putting the message within the context of which people would understand. And so for those of you who are teachers, if he was talking to mostly a teacher realm, he would use teaching illustrations. Or for those of you in the health field, he would use a lot of health communications and ways of teaching. And so he begins by saying that the person who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. And so often, sheepfolds were attached to houses or homes surrounded by a rock wall with briars or thorns around the top to try to discourage and prevent people from coming in wrongly. There was also one door for exit and entry. And depending on the size of the flock and sheepfold, there would be a gatekeeper or even the shepherd himself at the entry point. And if there was no actual door around the entry, oftentimes the gatekeeper or the shepherd would, at nighttime, lay in front of the entryway so that sheep couldn't get out and predators, be it human or animal, could not get in and attack the sheep easily. And so Jesus starts right off by drawing attention to the wicked in the imagery. He says that those who come in to the sheep by any other way than the door are thieves and robbers. And a thief points to someone who is up to no good, who wants to steal. And the term robber, it has the sense of not just coming in to take and get away undetected, but there is an element of violence. They come to take by force, and if violence is necessary, then someone's going to get hurt. And so Jesus is setting up a distinction between two types of people: the thief or the robber versus the shepherd's ownership and care for the flock. Now, notwithstanding in all of this is the day's viewpoint of who shepherds were, and they were looked at as low and beneath people, but we have to go back to the Old Testament looking at shepherds, and in the Old Testament, they're viewed highly. I mean, how many saints of old from the Old Testament were shepherds? And God used them. And God often describes his people as his flock, making him the great shepherd of his people. And so the shepherd does not enter the sheepfold by climbing a wall. He comes through the door naturally, because he belongs there. And the gatekeeper recognizes him, knows him, and lets him in because he's welcomed and recognized. And then Jesus describes that when the shepherd enters, the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And it was often that multiple flocks were kept together in one sheepfold. And so when a shepherd comes in, he would call the flock by name, and the average size of a flock was about 100. And if it was a stranger's voice, there would be no response. In fact, the sheep would go in the opposite direction. If you called out and got too close, they would start to walk away or avoid contact. You know, sheep aren't like dogs where they'll pretty much go to anybody that's willing to talk to them. Sheep will only come if they are trained and recognize the voice of the one calling. And there are actually even stories of sheep being sold to other flocks and needing to be trained to understand the voice of the shepherd. And so the shepherd starts calling his sheep, and then the new guy in the fold will stay put because he needs to acclimate and understand and learn the new voice of his shepherd. And so the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd who comes in and calls them, and then they follow the shepherd. And now a lot of us might have in mind Western sheep herding, especially when we see big pictures of like New Zealand or Australia where sheepdogs, and they're being driven to where they need to go. But in Eastern shepherding, even today, the sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd goes before them, and the sheep follow. So the shepherd comes in knowing his sheep, calls them by name, and they follow because they know his voice. He goes before them. They know the shepherd, and they know they are safe with him, and he is there to care for them. However, a stranger will not be able to lead the sheep of the shepherd, for they don't recognize the voice. In fact, they will flee from or avoid the stranger because they don't know the intentions, and they need to protect themselves, preserve themselves. They know to stay away from those who are not the shepherd. And as is usual, those listening to Jesus don't quite understand the imagery, and so Jesus needs to teach them. But before we get to Jesus' explanation, we can begin to see where Jesus is going and how important it is for us to understand about faith and belief. There is only one voice in which true, saving faith believes, understands, follows. And in fact, the imagery is beginning to set up that if you are not following that correct voice, then you are following a different voice, a stranger's voice. And if you flee from the right voice, the voice of Jesus, then you are not recognizing the one true God's voice. And so there is only one voice for faith to follow. And the shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them. And that is the voice they follow. And so we go back to the blind man. And the fact that the blind man is following Jesus shows that, number one, he recognizes the voice of Jesus, the voice of the true shepherd that we will get to. And it shows that the Pharisees are off track, and they are actually not of, number one, the sheepfold, but number two, the fact that the blind man is not following them, then they must be one of the strangers, one of the thieves, one of the robbers climbing the wall into the sheepfold. They are off track. If they were on track, they would recognize the voice of Jesus and follow in faith as well. So the question we must answer for ourselves today is, what is the voice we are following today? Whose voice has the biggest part of our heart, our emotions, our thoughts? Do we see, hear, read the Word of God and hear the voice of our shepherd? Are there close equivalencies that you may have mistaken as the voice of Jesus? The thief and the robber uses the cover of darkness, violence, to get the flock. But the shepherd uses his voice, and he knows the name of his sheep. And this is just coming into my mind, but we can fast forward to when Jesus is arrested and Peter goes and slashes a guy's ear off. And Jesus says, "Put down your sword, Peter, because those who live by the sword die by the sword." And we have to remember that the kingdom of God is not brought into existence by violence, but by the words of the gospel. And the gospel is the voice of God in Scripture. So when we speak the words of Scripture, the words of the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ, that is warfare in the kingdom of God. There is coming a time when Jesus is going to come riding on his horse, and just even in Revelation, what is it that at the end of times battle scene that destroys the armies of God's enemy? His voice. So the voice of Jesus Christ draws his sheep and destroys his enemies. That's where the power is. That's why Paul says in Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the very power of God for the salvation of many, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." It is the words of your shepherd that held power for you today, in the past, in the future. So weigh our hearts. Where is our faith today? Is it in the voice of Jesus, or is it somewhere else? For there is only one entry point or person by which we have abundant life. And so Jesus begins to unpack the imagery means and who it points to. And he starts with the door. And he says that he is the door for the sheep, the door of the sheep. And Jesus is flat out saying that the only way to get into the kingdom, the sheepfold, the pasture of God, is through him. The sheep enter through him. The only way for people of God to enter the kingdom is through Jesus Christ. And then he says an interesting thing. He says, now there are those who came before him who are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. And so we ask, who are these thieves and robbers? And some have posited that these people are individuals who falsely claim to be messiahs before Jesus. But if the context is Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, I don't think that that quite fits, as later we'll see that the issue of blindness arising again. And if you read through the book of John, John doesn't start a new section of teaching or story with the words "truly, truly." They move in. So just because you see chapter 10 there doesn't mean that John was like starting chapter 10. No, those were put in later. So in fact, it would be a good idea if you ignore chapters and verses when you're just reading through and get the full thought. And it can't be true that he's talking about Old Testament prophets, because Jesus often refers to them and speaks highly of Old Testament prophets. So the reality is that he is using this to teach about the failed religious leaders of his days, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And in fact, I want us to go back to Ezekiel 34, because Ezekiel 34 gives us... Ezekiel 34 is actually important for the New Testament Gospels, for this passage, and then I would say the whole Gospel of Matthew holds in its weight Ezekiel 34. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. Well, we'll see how I feel. but we're gonna read the bulk of chapter 34. And I just want you to listen to this with what we just read about the sheep and the voice of the shepherd. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lay down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." And notice this prophecy was after King David, so he's speaking about the promised king in the line of David. And we'll stop there. But I just want to highlight, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool." And remember what Jesus says to the Pharisees. It says, you lay on heavy burdens on the people, but you don't take up anything for yourself to help them. And then verses 11 to 12, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." Jesus is basically telling the Pharisees. That Ezekiel 34 passage, I'm the guy. I'm it. I am the seed of David. I am the one of David who has come to rescue the sheep that you have so poorly managed, so poorly taken care of. The religious leaders look out for themselves. Their authority, their power, their understanding is the only way, and it does not seek the benefit of the sheep. And since they are actually strangers, the sheep do not listen. And this is actually not just Pharisees. It includes the Sadducees as well, the whole Sanhedrin. Both sides, the Pharisees were looking for their own power, their own status. And the Sadducees, there's actually evidence that they got pretty wealthy with their relationship to the Roman Empire. And so they were not really looking out for those they were meant to lead, but for their own benefit. And so Jesus says, I am the door. He is the door to eternal life, abundant life. By putting one's faith in entrusting Jesus, a person is saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The pasture is where life is provided and found secure. The pasture is guarded by the shepherd, where the flock can feast and rest secured. Secured from thieves and predators. And remember, the thieves and robbers, the predators, are those who would mislead the people of God. The thief comes not for the benefit of the sheep, but to take, kill, and destroy, and has eyes for themselves. But Jesus came that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. And this doesn't mean that right when you believe in Jesus that all your problems go away, or that if you have enough faith, you will see an overwhelming amount of prosperity in the here and now. Throughout John, our gaze is brought to the eternal life that Jesus secures. And this eternal life is more abundant. What is more abundant than eternity? Forever. And as we will see, Jesus secures this abundant life not by taking life, but by laying it down. And that is the care he has for his sheep. Thieves only care about what they benefit, what they get, how they are included. But Jesus does all these things so that life is secured for his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. And while we do wait for eternal life, Jesus does give us glimpses of it now. And we live that abundant life now, even with its toils and troubles. And so while we do have trials and sadnesses and anxieties of this world, we are not called to dour, miserable, and lifeless existence. If your life and mine, I've recently had a season of battling this, is marked by complaining about others, then your faith may be in others and not in Jesus. Jesus leads us to life that is fulfilled in him and is expressed through his people, albeit imperfectly for now. Life in Jesus is more than just getting by and surviving. We are led from the sheepfold into secure pasture with life-giving freedom, water, joy, peace. Remember all these images Jesus has brought up in the beginning of John. Abundant life is not about stuff, possessions. It's about the peace, love, and joy found in God. It is about having God himself. Remember, we do. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Within us. We have the very presence of God in us. And so Jesus is our abundantly satisfying Savior. And so will we worship him, or try to find another door? This isn't make a deal. We know which door to walk through, But are we tempted to try another door because we aren't listening to the voice of our shepherd? So whether we turn from Christ or his church, whether it's because of people or the allure of other things, then we have to ask if our faith is in the voice of Jesus. Or another door, another stranger's voice. And so this is a call. This is a call for all of us to look to Jesus with our eyes being made open to him and walk through the door that he has secured for us with his very life. And so, Father, we come to you. We ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to your voice, and that you would lead us through the door into the pasture, the abundant life that you have secured for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.